Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to another Harry Potter side special. This week we'll be entering ourselves into a trophy in order to bring a watching bald man to fruition. Yes, it's Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And joining me to have a look at our eggs in the bath are the Snake Boys, Tom Neenan.
Hello!
And Tom Crowley.
Hiss.
Snake Boys, never lose it. Yeah.
We're here with Snakey. We're Jakey. We're Snakey. We're Alan Akey. Born. No. Born. The plot already, John. I'm sorry.
It started well. It's going to be good.
I like the idea of Alan Akeborn being in this, though.
I think Alan Akeborn is the fourth Snake Boy. He's him or Paul Litchfield. Either way, one of them is.
Yes. Yeah. Spiritually.
Akeborn's definitely in the queue.
Akeborn's in the queue.
Mm. Yeah, as he said, you know, you ache when you're born. You ache when you die.
And the middle's all gravy, baby.
That was his advert for Bisto.
That's right, yeah. Do you remember that? Brilliant.
So good. Ah, Akeborn.
We're off to a good start.
Alan Akeborn is when a chicken lays an egg and they go, and it's called Alan, and that works.
And then
well.
Alan, like, when he eats them all, he's Alan Eggbound.
Yeah. Scarborough's favourite son.
Yeah. Alan Akeborn.
Thank God.
Writer
for him.
Of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Why else would we be talking about him?
Why else?
I know.
Why else?
Yeah. For so long.
But you know.
This is what you want. We're back. We're back.
Don't
the Snake
back
Boys
in
are back.
Anger.
Raring to go.
Okay, no. Right. I think we've got a real jag of sort of late 20th century playwrights here, and it's not getting as close as Harry Potter.
It's almost
even though
a chorus
of
disapproval.
Yeah. Nice. Well done.
Thanks. I got
well done. So, Snake Boys, I've been thinking, you know, because each time we attack a film as the gang that we are, the Snake Boys, British gangster films are a presence in some way or other.
Yeah.
But so far, the world of British gangsters and the world of Harry Potter haven't interacted.
No.
Until today.
Oh, my God.
When I thought I could come up with a few pitches for British gangster adventures that Harry Potter could go on. Would you like to hear a few ideas?
Would I?
Would you?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Well, here we go. Thank Christ for that. So, here we go. Some pitches for new Harry Potter British gangster films.
Great.
Harry Potter and the Raid of Madrid. Harry Potter and the Pack of Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah.
Harry Potter and the Smile of Chelsea.
Strong.
Harry Potter and the Club of Strippers.
Lovely.
Harry Potter and the Artois of Stella. Harry Potter and the Nut of Twat.
Lovely.
Lovely.
Harry Potter and the Firm of Mentalists. Harry Potter and the Lamp of Chin.
Right.
Nice.
Harry Potter and the Wonga of Dosh.
It's like tautological, that one. I like it.
Controversial one, Harry Potter and the Slurs of Race.
Oh.
They're going to come into it at some point.
Yeah.
Harry Potter and the Dagger of Dan, of course.
Of course.
Nice.
He's in there. Yeah. Harry Potter and the Wallop of Bosh. Just a couple more now. Nearly there. Harry Potter and the Lamb of Donna.
Right.
Harry Potter and the Boy Who Played Crab.
Yes.
And of course, Harry Potter and the Lads of Piss. And that's
lovely.
All.
Lovely.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, so hopefully they're listening at WB Discovery and they can make and then shelve forever some of those.
Well, that new HBO man, was it the Warner Brothers man, David Zaslav, what it was called? He's crying out for a spin off, so he'd be well up for all of those.
Well, I mean, as we predicted, I think we did say at one point in the very first of these Snake Boy adventures, we did say that they're going to make a sort of 400-hour version of these books at some point as a TV show, as a streaming show.
Yes.
And that was announced this month, I believe.
Yeah, it was.
Clearly, we're all execs in waiting.
A TV series for each book. Insane.
Yes.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Mm. And I bet my prediction that it will be absolutely interminable will also prove to be correct.
There'll be a few bottleneck episodes, won't there, where like Ron's done a... Like if Ron's been sick,
yeah, and a flannel and a mop to
That's the whole episode. Real time.
I love it.
Harry Potter's just like, oh, I feel like I've got a bit of a temperature. Oh, where's the water? Oh, no.
Just say no, way. Harry.
And full disclosure, because you're right, we do often begin these with a rundown of British gangster films. Mm.
Yeah.
I watched, instead of watching Goblet of Fire, I just watched loads of British gangster films.
Great.
Okay.
So just at any point, these of my favourites might come up. Mm. Charlton Thug Holocaust.
Right.
The Magaluf Cunt Apocalypse. Dagenham Slag 6.
Yeah.
Howitzer Bully Boys.
Yeah.
And Woolwich Minge Dresden. So at some point... Those are my favourites. There are others, but that was...
Dresden!
Oh, that's annoying, because I watched the wrong film as well. I watched Sid Cup, twinned with Shooter. So I don't know what we're going to talk about.
No, we'll try. I can remember it from the first time I saw it.
Fair enough. All right, you got a reference point anyway. I mean, I watched the Morris Dance of Lacerations. That was one that I watched as well. Harry Potter and the Morris Dance of Lacerations.
Yeah.
I'd watched. I mean, that could be an actual film.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
But this film begins, Harry Potter. Oh, I should ask, actually, as I usually do, Tom Crowley, I believe this is the one you had seen?
This is the one I had seen as a younger person, and I think I enjoyed it more this time, I must say. Too long, again, you know, glass houses throwing stones here, but, you know, I found it to be a long film to have to watch for this programme. But, no, I thought there's lots of great stuff in it, and I think it was just that my, you know, generally the sort of Harry Potter mania that existed when I was a teenager just sort of closed off any joys this might have held to me. And also, it's not the most fun to just drop in and watch this grounding in the series. So I think that was the issue. No, but I think it was definitely an improvement in my experience of viewing it.
Hmm. Yeah, because we start this film, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, as all good films should. With the murder of Eric Sykes.
This and the
It was
plank.
A mixed beginning, you know. On the one hand, the film was so dark I couldn't see what was happening to start with. On the other hand, the second I did see something, it was Eric Sykes. So,
Eric Sykes!
That's his birthday today as we record. He was 100 years old, even though he is dead.
That's incredible.
His 100, exactly, it would have been. His 100, it's the centenary, the Sykes centenary.
Sykes centenary.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Grandfather of producer Matt Strong as well. Who I've worked with many times in various projects as well. Yeah.
There you go.
Matt Strong, much like his grandfather, very tall man. They're all very tall, aren't they? He's a gargantuan fellow, Eric Sykes. Mm. Also, we just realised this is your first Snake Boys since becoming a husband. Is that right, Tom?
Is that right? Have we not done one since then? Gosh. Okay.
So.
Well, this is the Stag Boys. It's a bit late. It's several months after I got married. But it's where I previously referred to my partner or girlfriend. I'll now say wife, which will totally change the experience for all the listeners.
Yeah. It will. It will just make that adjustment in your head.
And the stag do we'll just call Project Magaluf.
Yeah, Project Magaluf.
Craig Fairbrass came because he has to be anything that sounds like a gangster movie, he has to be in it.
He does.
Can I be in that place? Yeah, here he comes.
He materialises out of nowhere, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's like the candy man.
It's like Beetlejuice. If you say British gangster film more than twice, then Craig Fairbrass appears.
Turns up in a Land Rover. Do you want to recreate the death of the Essex Boys again? What, for the sixth time? No. All right, I'll go do it somewhere else then.
Fine.
Anyway, so Eric Sykes is killed because he witnesses... Well, it turns out Harry is watching this in a vision.
Yes.
He witnesses Peter Pettigrew,
Yes.
Voldemort, who we don't see at this point.
He's in over the chair.
He's like another little shriveled Wilfred Bramble at this point. Yeah. Going, oh, bloody Harry Potter.
He's in that sink.
Yeah, he's, yeah.
Oh, Muggle. and a person who we don't know it is, but we know it is because it's Doctor Who.
Doctor Who, David Tennant, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Starkly different to how he's going to appear to millions of children very soon.
Yes.
Yeah. As a baddie in this.
Yeah, he's a baddie. Mm. And this is also before the time where he would just literally do anything.
Poor Tennant.
Well, you say poor, I think he just loves it. I mean, if it were like, oh, God, we're... If it was a sort of Cleese situation where he had just endless divorces to pay for, I'd go, oh, but I just get the impression he just goes like, yeah, all right, fine, sounds fun, and I have a lot of respect for that.
Yeah.
He'll do it. He'll turn up.
Yep.
I opened a Doctor Who themed envelope the other day. He was there. That's not true. So Eric Sykes witnesses this and he hears them talking about something. We can't quite, because Eric Sykes was deaf as well, so he probably didn't hear. So they shouldn't have killed him.
But really, he would have been very good at lip reading.
Mm.
So, but then the snakes don't have lips, so
true.
He's stuck there. Yeah.
Nor do little sort of Wilfred Bramble fetuses. Yeah. In that you can't see.
Yeah.
I've just realised something. I don't know who Eric Sykes plays in this film.
He's a Muggle groundskeeper.
Yes. Oh, he's just a groundskeeper.
Just a groundskeeper.
Oh. Hey, I've got on my notes. He plays Frank Bryce. There you go.
Frank Bryce.
Not Fanny Bryce.
Frank Boff. Not Fanny Bryce.
Do you think he's related to Martin Bryce from Over Creasing Circles?
Yes, oh, maybe. I hope so. Mm. Yeah. God, I hope so. Yeah. And that's where
Martin.
They ended up after. Hello, Martin. Don't get me started. I've been working on my Peter Egan.
Mm. Oh, nice.
If I ever get married, Martin, and my wife starts vibrating, I shall put some coconut matting under her.
You have to say something about animals as well.
Animals. Oh, God, yeah. He says, well, the abuses committed against these wonderful creatures is absolutely disgraceful. I think it should disgust any right-thinking person in this country.
Very good.
There you go.
Very good. Mm.
You could do those greeting cards where you just open it and it goes, hello, Martin.
I'm doing some deepfake cameos, yeah.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Hello, Martin. I'm going to try and have sex with your wife. Happy birthday from me, Peter Egan.
They should change. They should. I tell you what. While we're doing satire, they should change the title of Ever Decreasing Circles to One Big Cuck, shouldn't they?
Ever Increasing Cuckoldry.
Cuckoldry.
Yeah.
Because that whole programme is essentially about Martin having to put up with the next door neighbour trying to fuck his wife.
So,
and we're back to John the Mesere again, aren't we?
crikey. I mean, it's amazing that they didn't play them. Yeah. That you didn't have the Mesere and Natty Jakes as Martin and Anne Bryce. It's a different show. It is a different show, though. It's a different show.
With two corpses in it.
Yeah. Really? Even, I suppose, yeah. Christ, yeah. Crikey.
So
that's a sunny thought, anyway. And now let's talk about Eric Sykes being murdered.
Well, Eric Sykes is dead now.
He's dead.
Mm. Yeah, he gets a Avada Kedavra.
A vodka martini.
A vodka martini!
Shaken but not alive.
Oh, nice.
He dies.
So then Harry wakes up. He's in a tent.
Yeah.
With the Weasleys and Hermione.
Yeah.
And they're going to meet Amos Diggory, aka Jeff from Drop Dead Donkey.
Jeff Rawl. Jeff Rawl. Amazing. What a great guy.
And his son Cedric, played by Batman.
Batman.
Yes.
Yeah. They're going to use a port key. And also Ron's dad's there, Arthur.
Yes.
He says, Harry, you have to touch this port key.
I had it passed to me through a hole in a toilet cubicle,
Why is it hanging out of your flies? You have to grip it, Harry. Grip it.
That's where I was told to put it.
I was told that if you grip it enough, it releases a serum that you use to go back in time.
I've been told that's a greetings ritual carried out by various Muggles late at night in the Vauxhall area.
Harry,
you know this
furries.
Vauxhall area, Harry. More furries.
Is it like a centaur? It's not really like a centaur, no.
They kind of wish they were, I suppose.
Yeah. So, yeah. This will be a whole plot throughout the whole thing, won't it? Because port keys are very important plot-wise to this. And you find out that if you touch a port key, it transports you somewhere.
Mm. Yeah.
Which does beg the question, why would you make the Porky the most hard thing to get hold of in the entire film? Let's get to that later.
That's for later. That's
a good point.
Yes.
Because this Porky is a shoe.
Yes.
And they touch the shoe and they float off and they all collapse. And I despise the way Arthur, Amos and Cedric will float down like giddy little arseholes.
Yeah, they do.
Like, smug,
smug little daffodils floating through the air. Yeah, knowing how much Pattinson tends to hate being in films. I just love the idea of him on that harness, like grinning his head off, going, oh, this fucking piece of shit. Just like floating down like a ballerina.
And they're sort of pedalling, aren't they? They're sort of pedalling down. Yeah. And it sort of looks quite strange, doesn't it? It's probably
Wonder Woman's invisible unicycle.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, it's so annoying. They might as well be like penny farthings.
Yeah.
Are you saying they're wizard hipsters? Is that what they are?
They are wizard hipsters.
Yeah.
Mm. Cedric particularly, because he's very, what's the word, blanched in this, isn't he? Old Robert. He's got very red, ruddy cheeks.
Yes, he's a sportsy, he's like a rugger bugger, isn't he? He's like a sportsy boy, and so they've made him quite sort of rouged.
Red in tooth and cheeks, yes.
we've gone to the Quidditch World Cup.
Hooray!
Hate it.
Yeah, hey, Quidditch, you can make a stadium as big as you like. Quidditch is still bollocks. But in this film, they've learned their lesson. So this, like, I was going, oh Christ! It starts with a giant Quidditch match, and the referee or whoever goes like, right, let's go, blows the whistle. Cut to after the game. It's like, oh yes, fantastic.
Perfect way to enjoy.
I did enjoy
Quidditch.
The entire 9-hour match.
I did enjoy Draco boasting that he's going to go in the fudge box. He says, oh, you're going up to the top of the stadium, are you, Potter? Well, we're in Professor Fudge's, or whatever his name, Fudge's special box.
Yeah. And his dad goes, box.
He says, don't show off Dracoy. Dracoy? Draco.
Dracoy. The Malfoys are dreadful, aren't they? Yeah. And their chat is an absolutely like pissy weak source just throughout. Mm-hmm. So, like, now that he's no longer a massive threat, Malfoy, or at least for now. He's just become just like his son, dishing out the limpest like slams you've ever heard him. He says something like, oh well, if it rains you'll be the first to know, which I think is like right up there with how's the weather up there Longshanks. Like, it's so bad.
I'd have said, well, if you'll be the first to know, because I'll piss on your edge from up
there. Yeah, and if I piss on your head, then Harry, just come on, it's not worth it. No, I'm gonna say this, stop holding me back.
I would have gone, yeah, but only by like a split second, because like, technically it'll hit me first, but you'll find out very, very soon after, so it doesn't actually work. Yeah.
We'll know first, but like, we won't even have time to tell you about it before you don't hold me back, I'm going to say this.
Also, how are those bad seats at a Quidditch match? Because Quidditch is famously played in the air. So being up high is quite bad if you're watching a gravity-based stage production.
Yeah.
But if you're watching Quidditch, being up high is surely better, I'd have thought. I don't know. Yeah.
The seats are also basically vertical, which was very much my experience of seeing Hamilton. So tightly had they slammed those chairs in that it's held every possible seat. Like, your knees absolutely slammed to bits on the back of the chair. So,
imagine as the founding fathers would have wanted.
That's just what they would have wanted, yeah, exactly.
It's
discomfort.
My experience of going to see Monty Python at the O2.
Oh, yes.
I was literally at the top. And I felt like every time I moved slightly, I was going to fall to my death.
It's just the way theatre's meant to be. Experience, John.
Yeah.
And just a constant sense of vertigo. Yeah.
And just like Monty Python at the O2, it sort of, this whole thing goes downhill very quickly, doesn't it? With
yeah, it does.
With some ancient evil coming to rest, which I think in this case is John Cleese, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Some sort of ancient forces of malevolence and Terry Jones just sort of wandering around in the background.
Doesn't know where he is. Occasionally he just stops and goes, why are there so many people in my bathroom? And they're like, doesn't matter.
Oh, God. Oh, Terry, sit down.
I watched him misread all his lines and it was very sad.
Bless him. I think the cruelty there is sort of making, I don't know, I'm sure it netted him some lucky cash, which they could have
The cruelty is the point, Tom.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Was it ever? Was that what it's called? Monty Python, look at us, sort of taunt this man in the early stages of dementia.
Well, it's kind of, the show now makes more sense because it said like four, one down, four to go. It was almost like they are doing a running tally.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, you know, that's, I don't mind the title, you know, so much. It's just, as it ages very quickly.
Well, ages very badly when one of your cast is clearly dying.
Well, yeah. One of them's, yeah, struggling a bit, maybe a bit more than you thought he would be when you started rehearsals a few months earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe.
My next stand-up show, I've never done a stand-up show, but my next one will be called The Cruelty is the Point.
That's good.
Yeah. Yes.
I thought you were going to say it was like none gone, one to go.
Yeah.
Just about me.
Yeah.
Or just call it to go, it's me.
Monty Python live at wherever you're playing, and everyone.
Monty Python live at the Pleasance beside.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds good. Great. We'll go see that.
You could come out. You could do a one man show. That'd be great, wouldn't it? This is a cheese shop, and you run around the counter. Yes.
Yeah.
Run back up. Have you got any cheese? Run around. No. Just keep doing it.
You know the worst thing
is
I once at school did. Someone asked me in the assembly to prove some point or sort of like make a point about something to do the cheese shop sketch with someone. Man. So in my head still is re Roquefort Port Levesque Port Salut Savoy Air Carrier de la Brie Bleu and Brousson, and it's just there forever now, and I can never get rid of it.
Oh God, you'll never get rid of that now. Yeah.
No. I realise I am just now a man quoting Monty Python and therefore should probably be consigned to the flames. So we'll move on.
John Hannah will attest to the fact that the bitches love that.
Me and Paltrow. It's all going to kick off.
He gets those sliding doors open, pants. I'll tell you that. Anyway.
I'm worried that this might be getting too sexy, this episode at this point.
Mm. Well, don't worry, because there's some racist Irish stereotypes.
Oh God! There's so many.
Hello. Oh yeah, there's an actual leprechaun, isn't there? I forget, a fireworks leprechaun.
Yeah. Fudge talks to the whole stadium by putting a wand to his throat in such a way that makes it look like he's holding himself hostage.
Like Blazing Saddles.
Exactly. Start the match, or I'll fucking kill him.
Yeah. Sorry. This is what Quidditch has driven me to.
imagine if you know that the football has like the, you know, Prince William or whatever, and rugby presumably has like Princess Anne. Imagine if you were like the ambassador for the royal family at Quidditch and you had to watch every big Quidditch match. You'd want to kill yourself.
Oh, Jesus. I think it is Andrew.
That
might be what, you know, turned him a bit funny.
He is a bit of a seeker.
They call him the
seeker. Doesn't like snitches, does he?
No, he doesn't.
Oh.
Their CCTV just stops working, apparently.
Yeah. This is the system he had put in fact. Yeah. A lot of kids in that stadium.
But no sweat.
No.
So the film wisely doesn't show the Quidditch World Cup.
Thank God.
Do find out that this guy called Crumb is the best, because even Ron's talking about how great he is.
Yeah.
And it's all going well until the Death Eaters turn up.
Bloody Death Eaters. They're not the Dementors. They're not the Ringwraiths.
No.
They're the Death Eaters.
Get them all confused. Also, so they're not Dementors. Mm. They are people. They are human beings who are wearing cloaks. That's right. Isn't that these people?
Yeah.
Cloaks that look just like the Dementors' cloaks. Wearing skull face masks that look like the Dementors' sort of skull faces. So just don't
and
get
like
confused.
The Ringwraiths as well.
Yeah.
You hear explosions and the twins, one of them goes, it's the Irish. And I'm on a minute.
Whoa. Yeah, it really was. Come on, everyone. Come on.
Yeah. And, you know, that's pretty bad. But also, I think, generally, Slytherin's standing in the magical world is getting weaker and weaker. Like, we've already talked about how basically it's like calling your club the Hitler Boys.
Mm.
It doesn't seem great. They've now mounted, or their kind of figurehead has mounted a terrorist atrocity against a major sporting event.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
For a school house as well. It's not like it's a religion.
It's
a school house, and you're like, probably get rid of that house, I'd say.
Sounds like bloody Eton.
Am I right?
Bloody terrorism they've done.
Death Eaters. Suella Braverman.
Yeah.
Cultural vandals.
I don't think she went to Eton. Yeah. But in its boys' school. But
it stands, it's fine. You could do what people do on Twitter when you correct them and go, it might not be true, but it's, you know, it could be.
But imagine if it was.
Yeah.
The fact that anything I think it's true is important in a way. The fact that I might have believed it, it says something.
It's like that Photoshop picture you always see of Jimmy Savile standing in front of a Vote Conservatives van. It's like, it's not true.
Every time
you tell someone that, they go, yeah, but it kind of is real, isn't
it? Imagine the sort of thing. Imagine how that would make you feel if it was real. That's how I'm
really
feeling right now.
What would you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there might be at some point a press, you know, a press interview at some point with like Slytherin is a legitimate political party in the magical wizarding world sometime soon.
Yeah.
Oh God. So it's not the Irish, Mr. Weasley says. He says, "Come on, we have to run." And then Harry, in the confusion, gets knocked out.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then a mysterious figure turns up, David Tennant.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he casts a death mark.
It's the dark mark.
Yeah, which is a sort of firework that stays in the air. So it's sort of like a digital greeting card.
This whole thing left me quite confused. kind of like, what's this for? Who's this benefit is this for? Is it just like the bat signal? Are they summoning him? Or is it just like, check us out. Look at our massive terrorist atrocity we've just committed.
I think it's saying that Voldemort's back or coming back.
Yeah, but is it, again, is it bringing him back or is it just going?
Just saying he's on his way.
Yeah.
Watch out,
sissies. Is it like when they do a trailer for a trailer? Is it like when they do a thing saying, trailer coming out tomorrow? And you're like, well, just put it out tomorrow then. Right, why do you have this thing?
Now they even do, this is the trailer to the film and then the trailer starts. You're like, why do we need that front bit?
Yeah. It's really weird.
Get ready for the trailer for this film. Yeah. Hi, it's me, Paul Rudd. I hope you're ready to enjoy the trailer for Ant-Man Quantumania. It's like that kind of vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a great time making the movie and making the trailer.
Yeah. None of you enjoyed it, but we liked making it.
We loved it. It was a great time. I made a bunch of new friends, and we had a great party for New Year. So what I'm saying is all feelings are irrelevant to me.
My aunt and uncle came round.
Yeah.
Very nice.
My aunt man and my uncle woman came round to the New Year's party. Met all my new co-star friends.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Yeah. No, he has a great time.
But then Barty Crouch turns up, aka Trigger.
Yep.
I wonder if Barty Crouch has had the same broom for 40 years.
Yay! The same wand. Has he had the same wand?
Yeah.
No, but Tom, you have brooms. They have brooms that they fly around on.
Oh, yeah! Oh, damn it, they do. Oh,
you unjoked the joke.
You
it ain't. I did it wrong.
But if you change every part
Harry
of that
Potter,
joke,
yeah.
Is it still the same joke afterwards?
Good question. In many ways, it's like Trigger's Sugar Babe Galleon in that regard.
Hang on, Trigger's Sugar Babe Galleon?
Yeah. Yep.
What? Have I missed something?
The sugar babes change modulus.
Oh,
yeah. So it's Trigger's broom, the sugar babes, and isn't it the philosopher's galleon? Isn't that the original one? Isn't that the one that's like the question?
That's the philosopher's stone. The first
Harry
Potter.
What is going on?
Yeah.
So David Tennant's here, and so is Roger Lloyd Pack, and everyone. And why would anyone think they're related at this point? Why? You just wouldn't.
He should be called David Pack, shouldn't he?
I think we'll write to him and we'll say that he should do that.
Maybe he was living with him at the time, hence Tennant.
Makes sense.
Very
that
good.
Makes sense.
How do you tell
David Tennant's real name? His real name
is David
McDonald. Tennant, is it? David McDonald, right.
David McDonald. But so he got David Tennant because he likes Neil Tennant, doesn't he? That's why he changed
that. That's right, and he's not wrong.
Yeah. How do you tell Roger Lloyd Pack to get ready for a holiday?
I don't know. Do you tell Roger Lloyd Pack to get ready for a holiday? Yeah. Fucking hurry up the cabs here, Roger.
Yeah, fair
enough. Roger Pack.
Lloyd.
Lloyd. We're going to Lloyd's gym. Oh, boy.
Hey, Lloyd Pack, finish rogering me quickly so we can put our belongings in our suitcases and then go to the taxi.
Do you think he's got those dogs that pull sleighs and stuff?
Yeah, he's got a group of them.
Yeah. I've got some playing cards and they've all got Roger Lloyd Pack on them.
Have you? I call it my poker set of Roger Lloyd Pack cards.
I put the gun to my head and I pulled the Roger.
I put my wand to my neck and amplified my pack.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so initially he blames Harry for the thing, but Harry says, yeah, someone went that way, so they all run after them.
Yes. Yep.
So then we cut to the Hogwarts train.
Yep.
Yeah, lovely.
And the lady turns up again. Hot dog! Does anyone want to buy the coffee or banoffee pie?
Cigarettes, cigars, yeah, throwing knives, cigarettes.
Party tricks. And then Harry goes out to the trolley and he meets Cho Chang.
That's
oh,
right.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's
this is one of the first appearances of how this installment of the franchise is basically carry on up my Diagon Alley. Mm. Because everyone's got an absolute bonk on all the time in this.
Yeah,
film.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's the very, kids have all sort of they're approaching puberty. They're all starting to fancy each other. It's the randiest of the films so far.
Yep, definitely. Everyone's chasing tail.
Exactly. So that's Katie Leung is playing Cho Chang. She's very good. She's very good in this.
Yeah, she's great, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's slightly underused.
Oh, well, not ever so slightly. To me, sort of love interest of the main character. Yeah, yeah.
She catches him trying to fuck an owl's mouth. And then he turns it into asking her to the prom, which I think is really well done.
He does a great job. Very great elan.
Yeah.
But talking of which, at Hogwarts, Professor Dumbledore announces that the school will host the Triwizard Tournament. Because that's exactly the thing to do in the face of terrorism.
Not only has there been one disaster at least per year, every single one of the last 3 years at Hogwarts, but there's also, they're in the immediate wake of a terrorist atrocity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then we meet who's going to be competing. So first there's Beau Baton's Academy from France.
Lovely.
Now what the hell is this? Like... We've laid on some absolutely cracking fanny for the tournament. We went to the sexiest wizard school where there's only fit birds allowed.
And even their Hagrid is fit. Hagrid.
Well, fucking Hagrid's going to seduce and destroy her Magnolia style.
Seduce and destroy with his tactics.
Old Francis de la Tour de France. Yeah.
Brilliant to see her playing the big vampire lady from Resident Evil that everyone All I'll say is if Rigsby saw this, his trousers would just explode off him.
By Rigsby, do you mean Lord Voldemort played by Ralph Fiennes?
Yes, that's right. Yes. A giant Miss Jones as well. Yeah. Oh, my God. Giant Miss Jones. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Run, Vienna.
And it's good night, Vienna. Beautiful. So you've got the sexy French ladies who've been brought in. I mean, also, Christ, talk about carry on. Ron turns into Sid James for a moment, or more like a sort of Peter Butterworth,
you know,
when they do their choreographed entrance into the dining
Kenneth
hall.
Kenneth Connors,
that's right. No, true. And he literally goes. There's a shot of their arses as they sort of jiggle up the aisle, and Ron goes, bloody hell!
Yeah. And then he grips Harry's shoulder and goes, oh.
It's because it's called Clémence Posey, who is our gossamer thin thread to the connections to James Bond that we need to make.
Oh, right, did she do a Bond?
Yeah, she's a Bond girl, isn't she? Clémence Posey?
I don't think so.
Have I just made that up?
I think you might have just made that up.
Oh, okay. Where
she's in, what's she in? She's in Bruges. She's very good in that.
Yeah.
A little few years later.
Tenet, she's in Tenet.
Oh, is she now? Okay. Yeah.
David Tenet.
David Tennant. Because he was rumors. Renting a room in Christopher Nolan's house.
That's right. Yes, yeah.
There you go.
You go in through the front door and then you exit through the front door as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very clever.
With your clothes on backwards.
And then Nolan's at the front putting out the bins and goes, get it?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, one day there's going to have to be some sort of inquest about the pandemic. And I mean, particularly about why Tenet was so rushed to be released and why he wanted people to see it when it wasn't very good.
Very I need to see it again. It was very confusing. Have you seen Tenet?
I haven't seen Tenet.
There's a bit in Tenet which is so awful, which is where old baddie, Kenneth Branagh, of this parish.
Branagh, yeah.
He's threatening his wife. And what he does is he takes his belt off and you're like, oh my God, that's horrible. He's going to hit with the belt. Then he takes off his cufflink and threads it through one of the holes of the belt. And you're like, if I was Christopher Nolan, what? I wouldn't put that in a film because either you've heard about someone doing that or you've thought about it brand new. And either way, I don't want people to know that I've had that thought at all.
Yeah,
it's
no,
awful.
I don't want to dwell on that at all in any way. No.
Much better if his trousers just fell down.
And his cuff hangs open.
This is what's missing from Nolan's films, why I don't watch them.
Yeah.
From the trailer for Tenet, as far as I could tell, because it was up so much, it was all over boosted social media posts and YouTube trailers and everything. As far as I can tell, Tenet is a film about a man who really hates a concrete block.
Yes.
And a woman says, no, the bullet comes from the gun into the concrete. And he's like, phew, fine, I know how to kill this concrete block I hate. And I think that's the whole plot.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Okay, good, all right. Well, maybe I will watch that then. That sounds great.
It's basically that episode of Red Dwarf.
Which one?
The one where everything's backwards.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, is it?
Yeah, there's a bit where Robert Pattinson is running away from the toilet.
And he floats down like he's riding a unicycle.
And then a poo goes up his bum.
Yeah, great. Yeah, like the cat.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, next to the Durmstrang Institute from Central Europe with Crumb.
Yes. With Crumb, Crumb's in. Yeah, very exciting.
Yeah.
And then David Bradley runs in like a horny chimp.
Yeah, he does.
It's weird, isn't it?
He looks like an Aphex twin when he runs in.
He's got the physicality as well.
He's got these knees are high, aren't they? Mm. He's made a choice there. I like it.
He has, and he's stuck with it.
Yeah. Really
that was the producers watched that and thought, Hartnell.
That's exactly.
So the two visiting nations participating in the Triwizard Tournament are Bulgaria and women.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
just
it.
So we're clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Mad-Eye Moody turns up.
Yep.
Yes.
Played by Brendan Gleeson.
That's right. Moody turns up.
Lots of fun.
And he's trying to give up the wizard catching and finally write his symphony. So he cuts all his fingers off and he throws them at Hagrid's hut.
That's right.
Do you know how long you talked about stuff you'd found in your hippogriff shite? 2 hours. I timed you.
You liked me yesterday.
He does, well, we're going to get
you like
that.
Me yesterday, says Hagrid.
Yeah, yeah.
Nicking moonshine through a straw.
You killed me donkey.
Yeah.
Spoilers, God.
Oh, sorry. You didn't kill me donkey.
Yeah, thank God.
No worries.
Now you've muddied the waters, so now people won't realise.
What's this about when the ceiling goes mad?
I have absolutely no idea.
I've never
understood. I was so lost.
Is that a clue as to that this isn't who it seems? I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, because he's taking lots of Polyjuice potion, isn't he, to make, because that's David Tennant that we're looking at there.
He's absolutely off his tits on Polyjuice potion.
I mean, spoilers, Tom.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. I'm so
spoilers.
Sorry.
It isn't David Tennant. There we go.
Yeah, there you go. Sort of.
Yeah, that's right.
You.
Mm.
Yeah, we're meant to think that he's a bit of a boozer, but yes, it's Polyjuice potion to keep his vast bulk up.
Yeah.
a bit
like Ralph Fiennes did when he played a Nazi in Schindler's List. Yeah,
played a Nazi.
Guinness.
Yeah, the horrible buggers. Oh. Yeah. Remember it well.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you were at school, you two? Do you remember when you'd have the French exchange kids visit and they, to introduce themselves, they did a choreographed can-can to the Marseillaise? So, because that didn't happen for me either. I wondered if I was the only one.
More's the pity.
They just all had cigarettes. That's all right.
Yeah, just back there. Yeah. Lovely, really cool. Lovely unfiltered
flick
jetains.
Knives.
Yeah, flick knives.
So then Dumbledore again describes what happens if you were to enter the Goblet of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then he introduces Barty Crouch, Trigger. Mm-hmm. He yes. tells everyone a single student from each school will be selected by the Goblet of Fire to participate. Students below the age of 17, I'm afraid, are now ineligible. And everyone's like, oh, I wanted to die.
Yeah.
Well, one of the rounds in the Goblet of Fire in the Triwizard Tournament is just fucking. So they have to be... You have to make sure it's all above
the Weasley
board.
Twins. It's like, I want to get my knob on. Yeah. God. This is the problem with Hogwarts, right? Because right. So I think they've only got themselves to blame, because we've talked a lot in the previous three films about how, you know, it's Ofsted needs to pay him a visit because there's no super safeguarding, there's no supervision. Everything's very, very dangerous there. The problem with it is every time any regulator steps in to try and like do something like, we decided we wouldn't let children under 17 do the death gauntlet.
Yeah.
And they all go like, what are you doing? This is outrageous. All the kids lining up, you know, going like, well, I'll just jump off the bloody tower myself then, will I? If I've got to die my own way.
They should have totally let the kids under 17 in, but one of the things is that they have to do that fart noise with armpits.
Yeah. At some point, Albus has been like, Albus, why did my son die? And Albus has to go, because the magic cup said he had to fight a dragon. And they go, oh, could he have said no? And they're like, not written, no, it's the magic cup.
I want to get into that, because I've got a whole thing about that in a bit.
Could they have said no? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean... So we then have Mad-Eye Moody, who's the new Defence Against the Dark Arts teacher, Red Flag.
Yes.
Yeah, straight away, mm-hmm. yeah.
He wants to talk to them about the three unforgivable curses.
Mm. Curses, yeah.
In this scene, I feel like he has the vibe of like a biology teacher doing sex education in the 1980s. Yeah. It's like, if you have sex, you fucking die, end of lesson.
It's awful, isn't it?
Mm. And these are the three ways of catching AIDS.
These are the three types of AIDS you can get.
Bum AIDS, mouth AIDS, fanny AIDS.
The fucking end. Mm. So what? We've got the three unforgivable curses.
Yes, the Imperious Curse.
Yes.
What's the first one?
Imperious Curse.
So what does that do? That's
it means you can
around.
Move things around, because he says, you know, you could put this stick insect out the window, drown herself. Mm. People have also said... That's what was happening to them when they did You Know Who's Bidding.
Yes.
Right, okay. So, but, okay.
Because how do you know they're lying?
Yeah, that's true. But, so he says there's three of them.
Yeah.
He then makes a beetle bigger?
No, it doesn't get bigger,
it just floats about.
Oh, I thought
that's the second
goes on someone's face.
I thought
he said,
like,
is...
Expandoramus or something in the beetle. he
pointed that. Banalaramus.
Okay, all right, yeah. Oh, sorry.
I'm your Venus, I'm your fire, your desire.
Yes.
It does go on Crab's head, though.
It does go on Crab's head.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's his bit of screen time for this
that's
story.
Yeah, that's the end,
always good.
He's sitting apart from Goyle and Malfoy, so either they've been separated or they felt like he was bad for their brand at this point.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anymore, because he's definitely going to hunt us down and beat us up.
Stop going on about it. I would like to point out, though, that in terms of the Imperious Curse, it was Ron Davis MP, who was found on Clapham Common at 2 in the morning, said he was under the influence of the Imperious Curse. He wasn't looking for badgers. He was just...
Airtight, that excuse.
Yeah.
That's right. And that guy in Parliament who was looking at the hardcore pornography.
Looking at tractors.
Parish, was it? Yeah. Was it Tractor Man? He said, yeah, I was being commanded by the Dark Lord.
He who should not be named.
That's right, yeah.
Boris Johnson.
So, yeah, I was going to say Dominic Cummings. Dominic
Cummings. Very nice.
Cast a spell on me, maybe look at tractors and have a wank.
The thing about this scene is, which is, I think it's very good, but having sort of known a bit about the books, is that all the curses that have been demonstrated, especially to poor Neville, have been inflicted on his parents, and that's how his parents died, isn't it?
Yeah, so particularly the second one, Cretaceous.
Oh, God. Mm.
Cretaceous.
So he's really upset.
Yeah, it's a torture curse, and he pointedly does it in front of Neville. Mm-hmm. Because that's what happened to his parents.
Mm.
I mean, absolutely horrendous behaviour.
Mm.
Yeah, awful. I mean, so maybe he's not all he seems to be.
Yeah, this guy needs to be fired immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I just thought he might, you know, they ask him straight into Dumbledore's office after the lesson. It's like, Alistair, just pop in for a sec. We've we've had some reports that you were visibly intoxicated in Defence Against the Dark Arts class. You threatened the children with a poisonous scarab. Then tortured and killed it in front of a traumatized child. It's like, what's the problem? Yeah, that's right. You said mouth aids multiple times. Yeah, what of it? I was like, well, we just wondered if we could offer you tenure because you just get us. Yeah. You really get how
we
do things.
Have you got that, the bug I gave you? You can have that back. It's not mine. He's a pet of a friend.
Treasured
of mine.
Pet, yeah.
Yeah, so you just hand that back. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Yeah. And you have to go to the pet shop and get another one that looks slightly different enough to paint it.
Yeah, yeah, and then Denzel's wife says, that was dead this morning. And he's like, no.
What an excellent callback. Well done. And the third curse is the Avada Kedavra.
Yes.
The killing curse. And there's only one survivor, and he's sitting in this very classroom.
When he said that, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. I thought that was brilliant. Yeah. I love that so much.
Mm. Yeah.
He's excellent in this, isn't he, old Brendan?
He's so good. Oh, he's wonderful. He's so good. Mm. I think also he was really good in this, Emma Watson. I think this is Emma Watson's best film. Yeah. I think she's absolutely brilliant in this film. Yeah.
There's a scene later which is straight out of like YA stuff where she's angry with Ron that he didn't just ask her properly.
Both go to bed, that bit.
Yeah. And I just thought, like, just she did it so well and I really cared about it. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
It's kind of a shame she doesn't do acting anymore, does she?
She's completely given up, hasn't she?
Yeah.
But you know, she hasn't given up. As of now, Ed Sheeran won't be giving up music because he didn't copy Marvin Gaye. That's just been announced.
Fucking hell. Yeah. I was hoping it would spill out into some sort of horrendous death penalty.
Sheeran.
Because you copied Marvin Gaye, you now have to be killed by your own father.
Your own drunk father, yeah.
God. Poor Johnny Sheeran just there like, oh no, why?
Yeah. I can't do this. He's crying. He's like, is it Wesley Snipes in that gif where he's about to kill someone and he's crying?
He's pointing at the gun and crying.
Yeah.
So we cut to people start putting their names into the Goblet of Fire. What you do is you write your name on a piece of paper and you put it in. And the Weasley twins have made a potion that they think will fool the goblet into them entering. And they're like, well, and they walk past this line, which apparently is a magic line.
Yeah.
Drink the potion.
It's called an age line.
Yeah. They drink their potion and then they're like, they're terrible actors, aren't they? Absolutely. Fucking dreadful.
They're weirdly uneven. And sometimes one of them seems to be really in the zone, the other one isn't. And I don't know if it's always the same one. Obviously, how could you?
How would you know?
I'll tell you what.
They're Phelpses, aren't they?
I'll tell you one thing. They look the fuck alike, though, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Say what you want about them. They
can't
are twins.
Can't fault them on that.
A proper pair of tits.
Twins. Yep. A pair of ginger tits.
Yeah. And then they're like, hey, and they put the names in, and then suddenly, because this is Harry Potter, the names come out of the cup, and they get thrown like 15 feet across the room.
Yeah.
And then they grow, they both look like Noel Edmonds.
Yeah, they do. Two Kenny Rogerses just...
Kenny,
off the floor.
And then it appears they start making love.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is
they climb on top
it?
Of one another and go, oh, I'll get you. Oh,
I'll get you, Kenny Rogers. Yeah.
You got to know where to go.
Yeah.
And you got to know when to hold them.
Yeah. You know what? You got to know when to hold this and know when to fold this.
Yeah. Fold it? Oh, no.
I want to be a coward of your county.
You're taking it too literally.
Anyway. So then eventually the goblet reveals the three winners, or the three champions. So you get Fleur de la Cour from the woman's school, Crumb Ovs, and Cedric Diggory.
Diggory, there you go.
And everyone's like, hey, that's that then, we can go home now. And then suddenly the goblet spits out a fourth name.
And at this point, you must be thinking, if you're just like a normal Hogwarts, you're like, finally, something where Harry Potter isn't the centre of fucking everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Jesus Christ, yeah.
Like, good. I'll watch them. He'll sit by the side. He won't be like the star of the school again. Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then...
His name gets spat out.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore, who never shouts, just starts fucking roaring.
I have another question.
He's like a platoon.
What accent is that?
I don't know, because I've written here he goes Dutch at one point. He says, Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Harry Potter.
Oh, shit, Harry Potter, your name came out of the Goblet of Fire.
Smoking a pancake, Potter. Smoking
a pancake. Cigar and a grape.
You have a toit body, Harry Potter. You are toit like Toiger.
Dumble member.
You should get weird. The cup is a portkey. Isn't that weird?
So, yeah, I don't know. Is he sort of trying to do the impression of Richard Harris and it's just sort of slowly denatured
over time? I think so. I think by his last film, he just stops bothering.
Yeah. Right, so he's just Gambon at the end.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think I prefer that.
Yeah, I don't know why he's even bothering.
They're all fucking magic. Like, they can't die, they can't be hurt, you know, like, who cares? Mm. Oh, I've got a new face this week. Fine, who gives a shit?
Mm. But I've written here, surely it's wrong, and surely they can just find out who's messed with it and just say, well, obviously... But they're like, no, the trigger says, no, it is binding... Mm.
Binding.
Because a magic cup says you have to do something, you have to do something. That is nonsense.
Hey, it's like the royal family, right?
All right.
Too bloody right.
Yeah.
So Harry is with the other people downstairs, and that's where everyone freaks out at him, and he says, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
So McGonagall says, with the dark mark, and now this, we should probably cancel. And everybody's like, no, we can't. No. And Snape,
why can't we?
Yeah, and then
you know, we can't.
Snape stands up and it's like, oh, hello, Alan Rickman. He stands up and goes, well, I think we should just see what happens.
I think we should just see what happens.
He must be. I bet this is his favourite one because he's in it for like three scenes.
Yeah,
probably got paid a whack.
That's it.
Yeah.
Straight to the trailer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hello, it's me from Hitler House. I think we should just do it.
Yeah.
Do the bad thing and get the boy killed.
What's the worst that could happen?
I wondered if it was just a cardboard cutout of Rickman, in fact. Yeah. They could maybe just CGI the mouth moving over it and later on.
Do you remember when I was in the back of a car having sex with Charlene Spiteri?
Did he?
In the Texas video, I can't remember what it's called now.
Oh, right. No. Oh, I thought this was a real bit of celebrity trivia that I wasn't aware of.
No, it's a music video where Charlene Spiteri went, what do you want to be happening in the video? And she went, I want to be getting off with Alan Rickman. So she just is.
Fair enough, I think.
Exactly.
You know, use your status.
Yeah.
If not then, when?
Yeah. Exactly. And if not him, who?
Exactly. And if not why, then how?
There you go. So then Harry gets back from all this shouting. And suddenly Ron's upset with him.
He's really annoyed.
Yeah.
He just says, look, it just happened, Ron. There's nothing I can do about it. And Ron's like, yeah, you just wanted to be a hero. And I'd have just said, you can just quit, though, can't you? You can just say, I don't want to do it.
I don't want to do it. I'm not interested.
No one will make you.
No, because it's the Triwizard Tournament. It's not the Quattro Wizard Tournament.
To the Quattro.
Yeah. And then Ron does the first swear in Harry Potter.
Yeah, oh
what
my
does he
god.
Say? He says, you cunt.
Yeah, he says, fucking beardy cunt. No, he says,
Harry Potter.
Yeah, he's talking to Hagrid.
Oh, right. Sure. That was in the first film. It's really shocking.
Goggle eyed paedophile. Yeah. He says, piss off.
Piss off?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really shocking. And it's because, you know, the films go on and they get darker as they go on and more mature, don't they?
They do.
And exactly. I hear that to sort of maintain that same model of an arc, in the next film, Paddington calls Mr. Brown a motherfucker.
Yeah. and he cuts off Mr. Curry's head. He feasts on his organs. Basically, the third Paddington film is a remake of Grizzly Man. But with Mr. Curry instead of Timothy Treadwell.
You must never let anyone see Paddington.
Never listen to the Paddington.
Promise me you will never show anyone.
Oh, the bears are my friends. They'll never harm me. Especially the one that eats marmalade sandwiches. That was Gordon Brown by way of Peter Capaldi.
Yeah,
that was
very
good. Very impressive.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Talking of impressive, Miranda Richardson comes in as Rita Skeeter.
Brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant. Queenie's in.
From the Daily Prophet, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, playing the magical Sarah
Queenie.
Vine.
she's brilliant. And not just Queenie, but...
Robert Wilford. friend of the show, Robert Wilford. Hello, Robert.
Friend
I know he
the
listens.
Show.
Hello, Robert.
He does all the time. He was in The Haunting, and he's absolutely lovely. And he's there, looking amazing. I love him.
Yeah. Probably
Tom, The Haunting, isn't that your extremely brilliant comedy horror Radio 4 show themed around technology?
Well, it is still available on BBC Sounds.
Wow.
Oh, well, that's so interesting. That's I think I'll listen to all of it now.
What value?
So yeah, she's got a magic pen and she's trying to sort of turn all of Harry Potter's like quotes into sensational kind of stories, isn't she?
Yeah, she's like the Sun or the Daily Mail, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think she literally is supposed to be that.
Yeah. That's when like satire folds in on itself.
Yeah. So
yeah, it just becomes literal. Yeah.
So then in the evening, well, Harry goes to, he receives an owl from Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's actually John McEnroe. It's like, you can't be serious. He has to meet him in the common room.
It took you four films to get that out.
I know. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. He has to meet him in the common room at 1 a.m. and he appears in the fire. And I really like the fire effect.
Yeah,
it's very good, isn't it?
Very
good. Looks painful.
Yeah. When he's finished that chat and he goes back to everyone in the house, his face is like bright red. He looks like Rodney in that episode Under the Sunbed.
Yeah, blistered. Yeah. Oh,
you've been talking horrible. To Harry again? Yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah.
I told him just to keep it brief, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Ow. I'll do water next time. Meet me in the secretest place ever, the Gryffindor common room. Because like at that time of night, there's only usually a few sixth formers like playing beer pong and the soggy biscuit game.
Yeah.
So it should be fine.
Oh, God, he's the biscuit. I must tell Sirius.
No, he's appeared in the biscuit again.
His face appears in the worst place. He's on a dartboard next. He's like, this is always happened to me.
Imagine if he got really drunk one night and Harry went down to talk to him and his knob came through the fire. I just wanted to see if it would work.
That's this hot stuff.
It really hurts.
Oh, no.
I'll do a wee and see if I can put it out. Oh!
It's more fire!
It's gone all
it's
over me! So he tells Sirius about his dream. Mm. That he saw Timothy Spall kill Eric Sykes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He says that exactly.
He says, you must go to the police. Yeah. He can't keep getting away with it! He killed Richard Harris as well.
Oh boy.
Doesn't Sirius at this point say something like Hogwarts isn't safe anymore?
Yeah.
Like, anymore? Yeah. Are you fucking kidding?
Now that's your line, is it?
So then next day Hermione tells Harry that Ron says Hagrid's looking for him. And then he goes, well, you tell Ron. And she goes, I'm not an owl.
I love that bit.
You should go,
which
no,
in any other film would seem like a complete non sequitur.
Yeah. You got a fine pair of hooters, she'd say. Even though, you know, she hasn't.
Says Ron, and that's why she's angry with him later.
She's livid with him.
Yeah.
So Hagrid takes Harry into the woods with his invisible cloak.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to get off with Miss Jones.
Yeah.
So it looks like he's invented dogging.
Yeah, but it's a bit weird him putting like that invisibility cloak on a child and saying, come and watch me dogging with this giant woman in the woods.
you ever wanted to see me hang out the back of a giant? Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
No. Oh, I should not have said that. God, why didn't they keep it? So many places.
It's a great little catchphrase. Why did they do away
with
it?
No, I should not have said that. It's also his role, isn't it? Just like to slip exposition out for and other things out. As
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Put them in Francis Delatour.
And then Harry's like, dragons? What did you fucking expect?
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, well, Ron probably told you about that because Percy, his brother, has had to bring one from Romania. And he goes, no, Ron didn't tell me that, actually.
Yeah. Dear me.
So the next day, he's running through school. Everyone's wearing badges that say, Cedric rules, Potter stinks.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Animated GIF badges saying he stinks.
Yeah, and then
you probably get now, can't you?
Probably get them. Yeah.
Probably get
them. Yeah.
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 LCDs, LEDs on them.
Yeah. And then he goes over and does the decent thing with Cedric. He says, just want to let you know, it's going to be dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cedric's like, well, just so you know, I had nothing to do with those badges.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
If he'd gone up to Cedric and been like, just so you know, it's gonna be fine. It's in Gladiators where you fight with those like pugil sticks, like big cotton buds. It's gonna be that for the first round. Yeah. So you'll be fine.
So if I were you, I'd wear just a pair of shorts and a t-shirt.
Have you got like a sort of summer, you know, flannel suit made of out of petrol? Have you got anything?
Yeah. You should wear that.
Yeah, I've got a wax jacket. Yeah, wear that.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Lots of hairspray as well because you've got that lovely
tons
coif
of it.
There. Yeah.
and put loads of old-fashioned Victorian-style makeup on that's highly flammable.
Anything with petroleum in it, ideally. Yeah. Or, you know, yeah. Just,
oh, yeah. Shall I go in my jazz singer makeup? Yes.
Absolutely, oh, yes.
Here's a perfume I made from baby dragon blood that you should spray on as well, just before we start. That'd be fine.
That's right,
thanks,
yeah,
Potter.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with those badges, you know.
Yeah.
Although I did make the one that said you're a cunt.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I've got this T-shirt you could wear. It says "Dragons are twats." That's one. Brand I've actually come across in my time in London.
So then Harry goes up to Ron and says, "You know what? You're a right foul git. You are.
Oh,
what right the language foul in git. This flying
right
around?
Foul git. He swears like a sort of middle-aged man in a '70s sitcom.
Yeah,
like Mr. Riggs, like Bloody Rigsby again.
Yeah,
you're a right foul git.
Drag, yeah. Oh my god.
You're right, foul git.
And then he says, and Ron goes, "Is that right?" And he goes, "Yeah." And you know what? Stay away from me.
Whoa.
Oh my god.
Christ.
It's a bit much, isn't it?
Don't fight mum and dad.
This is what love does.
Yeah. Although there isn't really a love triangle at play anywhere because they both fancy different people.
Yeah.
And they're both aware of that. And there's no overlap whatsoever.
Yeah.
So
it's like Adam Faith said, love hurts.
Yeah.
Too bloody right.
And his last words were that Channel 5's a load of shit. That's a fact.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh,
he was watching telly in his dressing room and apparently he said, Channel 5, load of shit, then he dropped dead.
Yeah. The invisible hand of
Well, if you're going to go out saying something true, that's what I say.
Yeah.
Go out like an anarchist, yeah?
Yeah.
So then Draco tries to tease Harry. He's like, "Oh, Harry," and then Moody turns him into a ferret.
Yeah.
And puts him down Crab's pants. That's going to be awkward when he comes back, isn't it?
God, yeah.
Saw your knob really close up.
Malfoy turns back and goes like, "Yeah, well, the joke's on you because it's not the first time."
Ironic, you actually have crabs.
Yeah. In your thick fur. Yeah. Malfoy gets put in his place a lot more than he does anything bad, doesn't he? He's like
more sinned against than sinning, isn't he, poor lad?
Yeah, quite. He's like he was a dick in his first year at school, and now everyone just knows him as the dick one. And so any punishment meted out to him is allowed.
Yeah,
it's one of those stories you have at school where you get someone who's like a bit of a hard nut in the first year, but by the fifth year they're a bit of a joke.
Like a runt, they've not grown up as much as the others as well. Yeah.
So Moody takes Harry to his office and he hints, he says, "Oh, I can't use my broom." And he goes, "Yeah, but you can use your wand."
Which is, again, a bit inappropriate.
And then he says to him, "Harry, let's face it, and I'm not being funny. I mean no disrespect, but you're a cunt. You're a cunt now, and you've always been a cunt.
You've always been a cunt.
And the only thing that's going to change is you're going to be an even bigger cunt. Maybe have some cunt kids."
Leave off about my fucking cunt kids. Yes. Rossiter playing Ray Fiennes playing Voldemort.
So then the champions get to pick their dragons, and the first task is that you have to collect an egg by getting past the dragon. And we don't see how the other two do it because Harry's just left in the tent.
Mm-hmm. There's a few points I got dead lost in the middle of these Triwizard Tournament things. Also, like, you know, I've really enjoyed... Listen, lads, let's be serious for a second. I love doing these episodes of Snake Boys with you. I absolutely love it. And I'm really glad to hear that the listeners also appreciate them as well.
Yeah.
But I must... And I also, I'm appreciating these films more than I would have as a kid. I think I'm getting more from them, especially with Tom, Nina, and your enthusiasm for them. But
love
you
them.
Can just... You can tell they're not my thing, you know? They're not quite my thing. Because of things like when they introduced the Triwizard Tournament, my first thought was, "Oh fuck, that means there's like three bits of it."
Yeah.
And it just thoughts like that tell me like it's not my thing, you know.
I love it because I'm so bad at following plots. If I know that it's a competition and there'll be winners and there's three bits of it, I'm like, I can manage that. I've got that. That's all in my head.
And you can be fairly sure who the winner's going to be by the end of it. So.
If it does just end up being Victor Crumb. And he just goes, "Yay," and then leaves. That would be weird, wouldn't it? That would be narratively unsatisfying.
Much better.
It'd be the more realistic ending, wouldn't it? Because frankly, I know the film's called Harry Potter, but look at him.
Crumb's
going to take this home easy.
Crumb probably just like punched the dragon, didn't he? Just walked up the dragon, whacked it, and just nicked his egg, and it was over him.
Snapped its neck.
It'd be good if there was a little cameo in the crowd as it pans across and there's Penfold. Crab. Crab. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
So Harry uses his broom to fly about. Oh, the dragon looks great, though, doesn't it?
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, no, I really liked it.
Yeah.
I'd have liked to see more of the other designs, because I liked how he's like a spiky one.
Yeah.
And the only time you... Oh, sorry, that was my ring pool just opening.
Yeah. and I'm not urinating, I'm just pouring out some water. Carry on.
Okay, Tom. Great. Because okay. I like the little baby... Oh, right. Something quite distracting, oddly, John, about the way you're pouring that...
Sorry.
That water. Yes, no. I liked the little baby dragons. Oh, but again, I'm lost. Were those baby dragons, or were they sort of holograph?
I think they were supposed to be like avatars.
Yeah. So that's a real dragon, and then they plug it into the big dragon's brain.
Yeah.
Oh.
With its tendrils.
They put it in the dragon's cockpit, and they fly the body around.
Okay, yeah. So they sort of open their faces like Transformers, and the little dragons go in.
Like that little man in Men in Black.
Yeah, exactly.
He wants
pierogi.
Oh.
Yeah, that guy. It.
Orion's belt is in your face. Oh, he says.
That's where it is.
So Harry wins an egg. And when he comes home to the common room, everyone's celebrating him like his hero, even though he's fucking crowbarred his way into this tournament.
To be the centre of attention again.
Like you say, someone would be in the corner with just polishing a gun, being like, fuck
Harry
Potter. Harry Potter, Harry Potter. And then he goes, shall I open it? And everyone's like, with all the acting they can muster.
Yeah.
And he opens it and he makes a horrendous noise. And then Ron comes in and goes, bloody hell, that was loud. And then he goes, look, I'm sorry, you'd have to be an idiot to fight against the dragon if you didn't need to. And Harry's like, oh, caught on, have you?
Yeah.
God, they're so catty with each other.
So they've reconciled with each other. And then at Christmas, there's the Yule Ball. Ron is sent his costume, which is kind of like a Hackney hipstery thing going on.
Very much. Very sort of Russell Brandy.
It's all of John Pertwee's characters.
Yes.
John Pertwee is Doctor Who and Wurzel Gummidge at the same time.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Also, we need to talk about how Daniel Radcliffe's hair in this film is fucking atrocious.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
It's, so it's like He-Man's
unanimously,
hair.
It's quite bad hair. Yeah.
Maybe he was told, like, just loads of hairspray, backcomb that before you fight the dragon. Cedric was the one who told him, that's why.
It just looks like a thatched head.
It does, yeah.
Isn't it actually like a thing of record that Danny Radcliffe said they were told not to cut their hair before they started filming?
Oh, right.
And so they all turned up, like, on the first day expecting to, like, go into makeup and have a haircut. And apparently everyone just went, yep, okay, you ready? And
they're like,
just haven't been cut our hair for ages. And, yeah. And that's why both him and Rupert Grint have, like, very long manes in this one.
That makes sense. Yeah. Because it's too long. Especially too long. Because that awkward age where, particularly when they're put into suits, where they're kind of not tall but not small.
Yeah.
So everything looks too big on them.
Yeah.
So when Harry's wearing that caped suit, he looks like Frankenstein. Monster, I should say.
Yeah. Nice.
Before someone writes him. So they go to the Yule Ball and they can't find dates, so they ask the two Asian girls who can't find dates.
Yeah.
Which is a bit horrible.
I feel quite bad for the Patil girls, the second choices.
Yeah. And they won't dance with them. Hermione is going with Crumb.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Which upsets Ron a little bit. And then, but she comes down the stairs and it's one of those moments where everyone goes, oh my God, she looks so beautiful.
And the Daily Mail reporter leaps out of from behind a hedge and goes,
all grown up,
flaunting her curves.
In this revealing pink number.
Because this ball reveals one thing to me that I think we need to discuss, which is the dearth of good dance music in the Harry Potter universe.
Yeah.
Because they have, there's Jarvis Cocker there.
Yeah.
It's Pulp, isn't it? Haven't they, like, just got most of Pulp in?
It's Jarvis Cocker of Pulp. Yeah. It's Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead. It's Jason Buckle of All Seeing Eye.
Right.
And Steve McKay of Pulp.
Okay, so there's two Pulp people in there.
Yeah.
But their song is all wave your hands in the air like a goblin that
I
just
beg your pardon, it's Do the Hippogriff.
Oh, sorry.
Which is about having sex with a hippogriff.
I was going to say, it's Jarvis Cocker, so I'm surprised it wasn't like,
actually,
I'm underneath
Tom,
the invisibility cloak.
It's not Jarvis Cocker. It's the Weird Sisters, if you don't
It's
mind.
The Weird Sisters, sorry. It's Jervis Cockerington from...
No, he's Myron Wagtel.
Okay.
Is that his name?
Yeah. He's Myron Wagtail, sorry. Johnny Greenwood
in Harry Potter.
Curly Jeep. Jason Buckle is Heathcote Barbary. Right. And Steve McKay is Donegan Tremlett.
I was really hoping you were going to say Steve Smith for the last one.
Maybe like, the crowd admired how Wagtail could avoid the dog shit on the pavement on his skateboard. And then they sing a slow song so Hagrid can screw Miss Jones.
That's right. Massive Cracker loves Massive Jones.
Doesn't he grab her bottom?
He really does. He goes right in for it. Yeah. Right, what a lad, straight in.
Oh, I've got to admire
She's not
that.
Having it, though.
Fair enough.
He's like, tell you where I'd like to see. He goes, I tell you where I'd like you to see your clothes on my bedroom floor. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
I should not have said that. This is calling back a bit, but I really like that this shows, I don't imagine this is in the script, but De La Tour calls Dumbledore Dumbledore, which I really like.
So. Oh, lovely.
It's nice.
Professor Dumbledore.
The lyrics, by the way, to the song.
Oh yeah,
that they sing in the pulp and other people.
The Weird Sisters.
Dance around in place like a griffin with a face. Have a lovely time like a fucking goblin that is like lives one? In a mine.
Yeah.
Yes.
And have a dance like a.
Mermaid takes a chance.
Yeah, that is it. That is basically. Must have taken 20 seconds to write that song.
Yeah.
That must have been on the third Pulp album. That no one. Liked.
Yeah.
Oh God. So Cedric then takes Harry to one side. Ron is mean to Hermione.
Yeah.
Yes.
He says that she looks stupid or something.
Rude.
Yeah, harsh, man.
And then she says, well, if you wanted to ask me to the dance, you should have asked me in good time, because he asked her earlier and she said she was going with Crumb.
Yes.
And then Harry turns up, and I love this bit. She goes, go to bed, both of you. And they both, and Harry's like, oh, all right. And
just they've been told, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's funny. And then he goes, she's bloody mental.
Yeah.
And then she cries on the stairs.
Would not be allowed nowadays.
No.
Can I just say, you'd have to say, you know, something that's not very acceptable now.
She's bloody suffering from, you know, an understandable imbalance of the chemicals in the brain.
Yeah.
And
probably
see somebody about maybe getting some medication for that.
Yeah.
And I wish her all the best on her journey.
Yeah, that's right. And I wish her very well. Yeah,
this
exactly.
This is the way.
Yeah.
You're right,
it is better.
Cedric then takes Harry to one side and goes, look, you know, since you helped me, I'm going to help you out. Not like that. We're not going to wank each other off.
Although, do you want to have a bath with me?
Yeah, he says, go to the prefect's bathroom, and I've heard that it's not a bad place for a bath.
Imagine if you just set that on absolute face value.
I'm flattered, Cedric. I don't see you that way. I think you're a good friend. I mean, you could be a good friend.
You're a handsome guy. Everyone agrees. Good for you, but like, yeah.
Although I've got to say, I think it's the middle-aged man in me jumping out. That bath looks bloody lovely, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does.
I just kept watching that thinking I'd love to get... Not with the boy. I'd like to have that bath for me.
Well, you're a Moaning Myrtle though, guy. We know that.
I want Moaning Myrtle to come in and check out my junk. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
but it's fine,
because Shirley Henderson would have been about 35 at this
point. Yeah. Of all the schoolgirls to find attractive, I think Moaning Myrtle is the one that's fine, because it's played by a woman in her 40s.
That'd be funny.
Daily Mail comes in and goes like, what? Oh, she's 40 years old.
Has anyone been watching Mandalorian?
No.
Oh, because Babu Frick turns up in the third
what?
Series.
What?
Oh, brilliant.
And I don't know if it's her still doing the voice, because if it is, it's very funny. Because in one scene, Grogu, picks up Babu Frick and starts squishing him in a cuddle. It's quite funny. And then the next episode, Babu Frick does something for him. And then Grogu comes up to him, he runs away. And I hope it's Shirley Henderson and says, and it just really makes
me
laugh.
Henderson, surely. Must be.
She's brilliant. Oh, because she's got that amazing voice.
She is brilliant.
Yeah, I love it.
So he's having trouble with the egg. He opens it. It still makes the screaming noise. And then Myrtle goes, do it underwater. So he does. And then we hear this little song, a siren-y song. Like, me, I'm underwater.
Yeah, weird, yeah.
And I think it's... Well, I don't understand, because this egg is telling us what the second task is, but surely they're going to be told what the second task is. Isn't
it? Yeah, it would make... Otherwise, because he's... Yeah, he's going to wonder why everyone's gone to the in the middle of the lake, and he's just like, he's all waiting up there.
What preparation would he be doing? I suppose, well, we find out, don't we? I'm a bit lost about the rules with this sometimes, because, like, is using gillyweed to give yourself gills, is that cheating or not?
It feels like they've all cheated in one way or another, doesn't it?
So they're not allowed to fight,
but they seem to, exactly. Crumb turns into a shark.
Mm. And the other girl drops out, and you don't really know why, do we?
No, I don't even know. I mean, also, how did they find and drown all those children for the next round?
Yeah. That sort of suggests that weird, Ron was grabbed in the middle of the night, drugged and thrown in the lake.
Some sort of suspended animation and thrown into a lake. Exactly, and Hermione and Cho Chang and the rest of them. I mean, I don't understand at all.
The very real possibility that if you don't pass that test...
You lose your friends and
they
die.
Just die. Yeah. Your friends die if you don't pass that test.
But Harry takes the gillyweed, goes under the water, and then rescues... Well, he goes to rescue the French girl's little sister, but the mermaids attack him and say, "Only one."
Yeah.
And then Crumb turns up, as you say, as a shark.
Yeah, brilliant.
And scares them off.
Yes, good for Crumb. Good work. Again, he would win. He's not only an enormously athletic Bulgarian man, he's also a shark now.
Yeah.
The right
one. He's a shark now.
He's a shark now. This is the moment when watching this as a teenager with no context from the Harry Potter world. This is when I thought to myself, can just anything turn up in Harry Potter world? Because they've got mermaids now, and we've had we had dragons as well. I don't know if we've had them before, but like
centaurs,
there's like a proper centaurs have appeared, and I was just like, oh look, it's Qui-Gon Jinn, the Jedi warriors here as well, and there's Sloth from the Goonies with RoboCop.
Like, that is Ready Player One.
That is right. Okay, yeah. That is Ready Player One. Yeah, fair enough. Oh.
So basically, Crumb wins. Harry comes second. The French girl presumably is disqualified because she pulled out for some reason and left her sister to drown.
Yeah, their friend. Yes. Her sister just dies.
Yeah, so then...
Maybe she had a very reasonable reaction to seeing, like, the drowned corpse of her sister and, like, freaked out and maybe wasn't able to persist with the sports event after that.
Fair enough.
So then as they're leaving, Barty Crouch speaks to Harry briefly, and then Moody says to him, "Ah, Barty, what are you doing trying to annoy people?" And then he flicks his tongue out. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
that's right. And Barty's like, "Ooh."
Oh, because who have we seen do that before?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I'd completely forgotten. I did not connect those two things at all. Mm. Till the end.
But poor Barty did, and then immediately is found dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the Forbidden Forest. I mean, what he was doing there is anyone's guess, but
well... I hear he was led in there by Hagrid wearing an invisibility cloak.
and a bra. He was caught wearing Francis de La Tour's underwear. Hagrid strangled him and pinned it on Barty.
But he could just but he could just sit in one cup of that bra.
Yeah. Like it's a little boat and he could go home.
Yes. Yes, right. He wishes.
I've just got the image now of Hagrid prancing around on his tiptoes in the Forbidden Forest wearing a bra and panties.
Like, oh, look at me, I'm Miss Jones.
And Barty comes in and he's like, Jones. I shouldn't have done that.
I shouldn't have done that.
Oh, God. And then we get the bit where I found really boring, where he goes to see Dumbledore, and Dumbledore's like, oh, I've got this pensieve.
Oh, yes.
Where I can show you a memory. And we see Karkaroff's trial. Who's like Crumb's schoolmaster. And we learn that he used to work with Voldemort, but he doesn't now. Mm-hmm. And then we find out who that David Tennant is. He's Barty Crouch Jr.
Junior.
Yeah. And what do we think about Tennant's performance here?
Amazing. Well, I think what happened was David Tennant said, "Hello, Father." And then the director said, "Cut. Okay, let's reset. Go again. David, could you, do something? Like, make a choice? Because you're giving me nothing here and we're burning David. This costs like £1 million a shot, this film. Just give us something."
And then David Tennant goes, "Hello, father," who is also Mr. Loomis from The Rise of the Cybermen. Yeah!
Yes, we're going to meet again soon, yes. Yeah!
Yes.
So then Harry's like,
I think glare is the best. Saying glare, that's always the best acting choice. It's strong, it makes a statement. I'd love it.
Have you seen that thing in the Michael Caine acting thing where he's like, okay, now I'm going to tell you about a thing called going glare. So at the end of a scene, you might want to say you're angry. What I'd say is go glare. Yeah. And then that is a great scene.
Glare. If you're trying to communicate that you're quite an evil bloke, consider shouting glare into Trigger's face.
Glare. You're only supposed to blow the bloody glares off.
Hold on, lads. I've had a brilliant idea. Yeah! And then roll credits.
Yeah.
So Harry says, I recognise that's the guy from my dream who killed Eric Sykes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we
which I was sad about because I loved The Plank so much,
I
says
love
Harry.
The Plank, but not so much so that good. Second film, silent though. Film he did that no one remembers where they're all moving house.
Yeah, no, yeah. I've seen that one.
No. That
so then we haven't got time to focus on the potential of a murderer running around because it's time for the third task.
Yay!
They must go to a maze.
The Maze Runner.
Can I just say, I think that the Triwizard rounds are in the reverse order to what they should be.
Absolutely right.
It goes massive dragon, underwater mermaid attack, maze.
Yeah.
I just think that's, if you want a big finish, you go the other way around. That's what I think.
Terrible plan.
It's a bit like the people who must design the tasks in the Crystal Maze, because some of them are like, get a ball in a hoop. And some of them are incredibly complex jigsaws where you also need to like remember numbers and then input them onto a thing. Yeah. And I always just think there's someone there who's really phoning it in and someone who's really trying.
Yeah, you have to put a ball in a hoop and the other one you have to build a full-scale icebreaker.
Yeah.
So they go through the maze and Crumb has been bewitched. He turns into like an evil man with shiny eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Harry and Cedric have to run around the maze and then they see the cup and they make a run for it, but Cedric is pulled down by some angry plants.
Yeah.
Yes. In I think what is the best being eaten by vines effects I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It looks really horrid. It looks really scary.
And Harry thinks for a moment, shall I go and get the trophy on my own? But no, because he's Harry, a very special boy. And then he's like, right, let's both grab the trophy. And it's a bloody porky. They're now in a graveyard. And then a door opens. Well, Harry walks about and then he sees the grave of Tom Riddle. And he says, Cedric, we've got to go.
Tom Malvolo, I am Tom Riddle,
that's
whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Tom, he who must not be named Voldemort Riddle.
Bill Sudoku. And then, before they can think about anything, Pettigrew comes out. And but he's carrying a little babe. And he looks at Cedric and he says, kill him. And Cedric gets a Vada Kedavra'd.
Straight away.
Awful.
And then he pins Harry to the grave. And it turns out that it's little baby Voldemort.
Looking a bit like Wilford Bramble.
He looks like Babu Frick's older brother. He looks like Nicholas Lyndhurst if he was Babu Frick.
Yeah, no, that is true. I'd say he looks like an uncooked haggis.
Yeah.
And then they do pop him in the boiling water for a couple of hours till he's done.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Pettigrew says to him, I've done your bidding, master. Can I have my arm back? Because he's cut his arm off. And he grows it back and he goes, good. Because he's like, he hasn't been able to have a wank for ages.
And then he goes, this is a bad hand. And then he sword fights the Sycorax and then he kicks them off the top of the spaceship.
Yeah. That's right.
Correct, yep. And then throws an apple and it, resolving that sort of setup.
So they cut a bit of Harry's hand and then put Voldemort in a little cauldron. And then he comes back as Ralph Fiennes.
Yes.
Yes.
Who's very good as Voldemort, isn't he?
Oh, he's amazing. He's so good.
He's great. Mm.
I love his strange.
He's got quite a strange voice, like just very sort of a bit fey and raspy like that. It's always really nice.
There's
a danger to our ships.
Like he's in a kitchen where there's a gas leak and he's trying not to breathe it in.
Yeah.
Don't turn
Open
on
the window.
I would say that I've made a note here that is anyone, because a crowd assembles of Death Eaters. Yeah. And I've put, is anyone going to tell Voldemort that it's not cool to bully a 13-year-old boy?
Not one.
No. So he attempts to use the Avada Kedavra on Harry.
Mm-hmm.
But Harry deflects it, and then they have like a wand off with Harry initially being scared, but then he comes out and they point their wands at one another, and we get dribbly wand spunk,
dribbly wand magic.
Love it. I love those bits.
Spunk meeting in the middle,
and then
they do the third act of every DC film, just two energy beams. The angriest person wins with the energy beam, and
but
they win.
He's got a secret weapon that is the ghost of Eric Sykes.
And his mum and dad.
It's like that Ghostbusters film, exactly. But my favourite bit is Cedric going, "Harry, take my body back, will you?"
Yeah. Oh, don't do that, Harry.
And he's like,
"Come on."
Also, tell my dad those mags under the bed weren't mine.
Delete my internet.
If you could go into my internet search history and just make sure you delete all of that, especially for March 19th, that'd be really good.
Also, tell him those socks were defective. They're always crusty. And so, basically, the ghosts of everyone that Voldemort has killed with his wand, is that right? Yeah. They will come back to sort of mug, to distract him while Harry can grab the port key and leave with Cedric's body. And then Harry appears in the arena with the cup and Cedric's body, and everyone's like, "Yay!"
Yeah, so sad. The brass band strikes up. Yeah,
and he's
cut,
and Harry's
cut
like,
to I think the best single piece of acting in all of Harry Potter. I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is Jeff Rawl.
Jeff Rawl.
For someone who's like a day player, he just he's in. I mean, Jeff Rawl was in Hollyoaks for years, wasn't he? Obviously, he dropped the dead donkey and
was he? Yeah.
And,
it's good to give him a Rawl plug.
Yes. Always.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Always nice to give him a shout out. Yeah. A Rawl.
Yeah, he says, "That's my son."
Yeah.
My boy.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Oh. Yeah.
It's properly terrible. Good, isn't it?
And Harry's like, "Hang on, you're not looking at me."
Yeah, sorry. Can we just turn everything back? Excuse me.
Guys.
We're not focusing on the main thing here, which is that I won.
Yeah,
I won the tournament.
Yeah, this is my trophy.
I guess there won't be like a ceremony or something. Then you're all distracted. That's fine. Anyway,
a big celebration now, like champagne, some vol-au-vents. That would be inappropriate now, probably, wouldn't it?
I'm floating it.
I'm just if anyone is up for it, like maybe we could after the funeral.
It could sort of be a celebration of his life and also me winning. We could do that together.
Yeah, because he helped me win in many ways. Yeah. A lot of people are saying that's one of the best things he ever did was help me to win.
Harry
Let's not forget, I did.
Harry would turn up and do that song from I Think You Should Leave. Friday night. I think that I just might.
Just might.
So he tells everyone that Cedric was murdered by Voldemort.
Yeah.
And, I have a point. A callback to the previous scene, by the way.
Oh yeah.
When Voldemort sort of seems to be telling off all of his lackeys.
Oh yeah.
Like, does he? He rips their masks off and they die or are sent away or something.
I don't know.
And does he say like Crab and Goyle as he's going, as if it's their dads or something?
I don't know. Maybe because he does tell off.
It was like he was listing the people that he was at that moment. If that's not what he's doing, it's very confusing.
Very confusing.
And it sounds like he sort of goes, Crab, Goyle. And I thought, Crab and Goyle's dad's like proper evil. Like, I thought they were just probably.
Yeah,
I imagined two sort of ruddy-cheeked publicans with tearaway sons who are a bit naughty. Not like, you know, Nazis in hiding. I thought that was a bit of an escalation.
It's implied, though.
It's implied.
But
if they are publicans, they're the kind of publicans who have like racist dolls behind their behind the bar and stuff.
Yeah.
So
that's right. Yeah.
They've got mud blood.
mud
bloods
in here. Yeah, that's right. Oh dear.
Anyway, so Harry's very upset. So Mad-Eye Moody says, "Come with me, son. Come with me." And they go back to his office. And,
he says, "Come for a cup of tea," doesn't he?
Yeah.
And I think the most threatening thing I've ever heard is Mad-Eye Moody asking you to come for a cup of tea.
And then he sits him down because he's obviously got that cut from where they cut him, and he pinches it, and you're like, "Huh?" And he goes, "What was it like? What was it like when you saw the Dark Lord?" And you're like, "Hang on a minute,
he's acting really weird."
Yeah.
Well, not actually, because he's been acting weird the whole time, but he's sort of being
he's a weird guy. Yeah.
Yeah,
this is more weird. Yeah,
yeah,
it's a real it stepped up a notch.
So. He's stepping up to... He basically admits that he put his name into the cup.
Yeah.
Which surely if they had a basic CCTV, they could have seen.
Yeah, they could. A lot of this could solve with like just technology that exists outside of magic.
Well,
yeah.
Well, the thing, like Miranda Richardson hasn't heard of a tape recorder, which is, you must think, quite an impediment for a journalist.
Yeah.
She needs to have a special magic wand that writes everything down.
She needs to have a special magic wand, but also needs Robert Wilford to take pictures for her. I mean, make up your mind.
There's cameras. Oh, there's cameras. Don't doubt that. No, that's fine.
So they should have a little spell.
Shorthand, like Jeremy Needle.
Yeah. Oh.
Ki Hu Kwan.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No time for love, Hagrid. Shut up.
Shut up. Leave me alone.
It's Mr. Trebus again.
Mr. Trebus, leave me alone.
Leave me alone. I want to make love to a French lady.
A giant French woman.
Maybe she'll let me keep her pants.
I want to have nine fridges.
I think I could probably fill my house up really quickly with her underwear because it's vast.
It's a big.
I'm still livid. I told you both. I went on a walk in Crouch End recently and apparently I walked right by his house. No idea.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Anyway. The Trebus house.
The Trebus house. So he's just about to kill Harry. And then the door bursts open, as it often does in this film, when, you know, not when you need it to, but when it's just past the point that it would be necessary.
Just too late, yeah.
Yeah, and they subdue him, and then they feed him a truth serum. And he tells them that he isn't moody. Not emotionally. He just
I'm fine.
Emotionally, I'm very moody at the moment.
And then we witness his sort of disintegration into Barty Crouch Jr.
He total recalls.
He does. Yeah, 2 weeks. Two soups.
two soups. He says two soups.
If it was up to me, if I did the remake of Total Recall that came out a few years ago, no one watched. Instead of the 2 weeks, I'd have had Julie Walters as two soups.
As the lead character.
Yeah, as the lead character. Yeah.
Have you seen the have you seen the song "It's Been Two Soups Since You Looked at Me"? It's very weird. It's a good collaboration.
Two soups since you looked at me.
And she keeps doing the first line over and over again because she's forgotten the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah. What did you order?
Where was I?
Chicken to China, to Chinese chicken.
Chinese chicken.
Anyway, we find out that the real man of Moody is at the bottom of an elaborate chest.
Watching X-Files with the lights on. Sorry, moving on.
So, Barty Crouch Jr. is returned to Azkaban.
Yes.
And then at the end of term feast, Dumbledore announces that Cedric was murdered by Voldemort. Although the ministry will tell you that isn't true. It is true. He was murdered.
And then Harry Potter's basically like Homer Simpson at the funeral of Frank Grimes. And he's like, oh, he's not interested. He's like, change the channel much.
Dumbledore's going on about Cedric, and it's like he was brave and true and a wonderful boy and really nice to hang out with. Harry goes, excuse me, can we just not forget who the main character is of the film here? May I remind again, just not to keep bringing it up, but I did win the most dangerous in all of wizardrydom. So just I think we should probably point that out a bit more.
I think we should be using our energies and celebrating people who are still alive.
I mean, he's like Trump, you know, he goes like, I like the wizards that don't get killed. Or captured. Yeah, I like the guys that win the tournament.
So he goes to see Dumbledore, and Dumbledore says, Harry, I've put you in terrible danger this year, I'm sorry. You do it every year.
Every single year.
So Harry tells about Dumbledore about Voldemort. And he says, I fired my wand, he fired his, and he calls it Priori Incantum, which I had to look up, which apparently is a reverse spell effect.
Oh, there you go.
See, I thought he said something like, Voldemort's wand and mine connected, and Dumbledore said, yes, Harry, that's called Frottatus Williitis.
It's called dry docking, Harry.
Dry docking, Harry. Get used to it.
He says, and he goes, oh, by the way, I know you saw your parents and they talked to you, but there's no spell that can bring them back from the dead.
Just to remind you, they're completely... You might think in this world there's probably some way to bring them back and Cedric Diggory, but no.
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 Are you going to look into it?
Dead zone.
No. No. There must be a book somewhere about it. No, there's not.
No.
Have you read all the books in the library? Not, no point.
No. No. Rubbish. They're really rude.
Not in any
bad.
Of them.
No.
I'll probably YouTube it, see if anyone knows anything.
No, don't do that because it'd be rubbish or it'd be made up on there. Don't do it.
Just but he says to him, remember, Harry, you're not alone. Mm. And also, please get your hair cut. You look like a dog.
It really hit me in that last scene how stupid his hair looks. Yeah, it's really for some reason, it's the worst bit.
So then Harry, Ron and Hermione are walking around as all the other schools leave.
Mm-hmm.
And Hermione says, "It's everything's going to change now, isn't it?"
Oh.
And he goes, "Yes, I am going to get my hair cut. I promise." But yeah,
too busy.
Voldemort is back, so nothing will ever be the same again.
No,
big Empire Strikes Back vibes to this bit.
Yeah.
But we're left with the visage of the Bulgarian ship bafflingly going underwater and killing everyone.
Well, it comes out at the beginning as well. I didn't know what was going on there.
When
the sort of Pegasus chariot descended, I thought, is this just how Harry comes to Hogwarts now? Like, what do you mean special treatment? And then he's like, a golden chariot appears.
Yeah,
but no, it's some French ladies, and then a ship came out of the sea.
And the
Bulgarian ship, having now seen how Hogwarts does things, they try and blast it to bits with their cannons, but sadly miss.
Do you think, just as you saw the ship go under the water, if you just heard them all go...
And just two or three weren't ready, just float up, dead.
You hear the sound of like 20 Bulgarian teenagers all going... in perfect synchronicity, and then Hagrid's watching from the shore, just goes like, oh, I love that sound. Every year.
That's like the Home Improvement sound. That's like the...
20 Tim Allens on a ship going into the sea.
I think there should be a post-credits scene in this film of Hagrid in bed like Demis Roussos, smoking a big fag, going, oh, that was lovely sex, that was. And then, looks right down the camera. Fucked a rotten, I did.
What it needs to be is, so he's just had sex with Francis Littell.
And then he rolls Francis over and it's Mad-Eye Moody.
Yeah, she's taking Polyjuice potion. And suddenly it wears off and it's Mad-Eye Moody. He's like, not again.
It was Timothy Spall again. How does he keep getting away with it?
And then Iris on like Timothy Spall winking at the camera, and then see you next week.
And then heart Iris in and credits.
amazing. There we go. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
I think we've covered it all.
I think we have.
Yeah, I think so.
That's what Hagrid said. Hey,
hey. Soaked.
All right, well, it just leaves me to say thank you very much for listening. Thank you, the Snake Boys, Tommy and Tom.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
for hissing with us again.
And we will be back. Oh, yes, we will be back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, we shall be back.
In another time.
Snake Boys.
Yeah.
I don't think anything's ever going to be the same again, is it?
No.
You're right.
It's changing.
What does he say? Things are changing. Yeah. He says, yeah, you're right, mate. Yeah. And then the film.
Yeah, probably. Do you remember when I won the Triwizard Tournament?
Yeah.
She should go, she should go, guys, it's never going to be that. You remember when I won the Triwizard Tournament?
It's never going to be the same again. Yeah, you're right. Anyway, and then he just turns and there's like a giant banner and like a big trifle. Jeff Rawl's crying in the corner, so he's not over it yet.
That should be the post-credits scene. Jeff Rawl at the funeral of Cedric is just him there. Nobody else has turned up because all at Harry's party.
I thought at least my wife would have turned up to her at the party.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll be back. Well, we'll be back one day.
One day, hopefully soon. Can't wait.
Thank you, guys. Goodbye.
Goodbye.